Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith, produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, Archdiocese of Detroit. Our pastor is Father Joseph Gambala. Zach Murphy and Ursula Krauss are our technical wizards, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is a continuation of a study of the authors of the prophetic books, and tonight we're going to talk about Ezekiel, part one. And that's how Michelangelo saw Ezekiel, sitting on a tiny little ledge up on the ceiling. Okay, as in all things, let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, teach me the sacred art of attentive listening. Illuminate my understanding of the profound power that lies in not merely hearing with my ears, but also with the depths of my heart. Enable me to become a vessel for effective and compassionate communication, recognizing that the ability to listen and share your message of love is a divine and transformative gift. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the year 598 BC, the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar first surrounded Jerusalem with a huge army. They don't destroy the city, but they intended to, but they forced the citizens of Judah to sign an agreement where they will exist as a vassal state, paying rent, paying tribute to Babylon. But to ensure that, some citizens are taken into exile as a guarantee. In exchange, their cities, that is, the city of Jerusalem and other cities nearby, are not destroyed, and they can continue to live in their own land under a heavy watch by the Babylonians. Among those taken into exile is Ezekiel. He's a young man. He's on the brink of becoming a priest through his studies in Jerusalem. He's 30 years old. This is what he's lived for. This is what he's worked for. And now, chaos. So Ezekiel and the others are taken from Jerusalem. They would have traveled on foot northward up through the Holy Land, making the turn through the Fertile Crescent at the Euphrates River and either getting on some boats or walking along the shore all the way to Babylon, the city of Babylon. And those that are taken into exile are the most intelligent, the most skilled, so that Babylon can profit from their abilities and talents. These Judeans are separated into smaller groups so they can't assemble and cause any trouble. Ezekiel is moved to a place near the Chebar River, which is a tributary of the Euphrates. There he meditates on his circumstances and how this exile has destroyed his life ambitions. It's while he dejectedly mourns near the banks of the Chebar that he has a mystical vision. The vision, God on the cherubim. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. In the 30th year, on the fifth day of the fourth month, while I was among the exiles by the river Chebar, the heavens opened, and I saw divine visions. On the fifth day of the month, this was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's exile, the word of the Lord came to the priest Ezekiel, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. There the hand of the Lord came upon me. As I watched, a great storm wind came from the north, a large cloud with flashing fire, a bright glow all around it, and something like polished metal gleamed at the center of the fire. From within it, figures in the likeness of four living creatures appeared. This is what they looked like. They were in human form, but each had four faces and four wings, and their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the hooves of a bull, gleaming like polished brass. Human hands were under their wings, and the wings of one touched those of another. Their faces and their wings looked out on all their four sides. They did not turn when they moved, but each went straight ahead. Their faces were like this. Each of the four had a human face, and on the right, the face of a lion, and on the left, the face of an ox, and each had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. On each one, two wings touched one another, and the other two wings covered the body. Each went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they went. They did not change direction when they moved. And the appearance of the living creatures seemed like burning coals of fire. Something indeed like torches moved back and forth among the living creatures. The fire gleamed intensely, and from it lightning flashed. The creatures darting back and forth flashed like lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw wheels on the ground, one alongside each of the four living creatures. The wheels and their construction sparkled like yellow topaz, and all four of them looked the same. Their construction seemed as though one wheel was inside the other, and when they moved, they went in any of the four directions without veering as they moved. The four of them had rims, high and fearsome. Eyes filled the four rims all around. And when the living creatures moved, the wheels moved with them. And when the living creatures were raised from the ground, the wheels also were raised. Wherever the spirit would go, they went. And they were raised up together with the living creatures, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne that looked like sapphire. And upon this likeness of a throne was seated up above a figure that looked like a human being. And I saw something like polished metal, like the appearance of fire, enclosed on all sides. From what looked like the waist up and from what looked like the waist down, I saw something like the appearance of fire and brilliant light surrounding him. Just like the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of brilliance that surrounded him. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speak. The voice said to me, "Son of man, stand up. I wish to speak to you." As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. Their children are bold of face and stubborn of heart. To them I am sending you. You shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' And whether they hear or resist, they are a rebellious house. They shall know that a prophet has been among them. But as for you, son of man, do not fear them or their words. Do not fear, even though they are briars or thorns and you sit among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or be terrified by their looks, for they are a rebellious house." So the Lord then presents a scroll and bids Ezekiel to eat it. And Ezekiel remarks that it is sweet as honey in his mouth because it is the truth. And the Lord tells Ezekiel he must proclaim what the Lord will tell him to the exiled Israelites, his own people, and that they will not believe. Well, Ezekiel resolves to do as the Lord bids him. And the Lord tells Ezekiel he must proclaim exactly what God says. Don't add anything in. Don't leave anything out. If Ezekiel does this and the people do not believe him, they will die in their sins, but Ezekiel will live. And the Lord further adds that if Ezekiel does not warn them, then he will die. But if he warns them and they repent, both they and Ezekiel shall live. Acts symbolic of siege and exile. So this is what the Lord has Ezekiel do. "You, son of man, take a clay tablet, place it in front of you, and draw on it a city, Jerusalem. Lay siege to it, build up siege works, raise a ramp against it, pitch camp, and set up battering rams all around it." So he's building this model city and he's going to attack it. "Then take an iron pan and set it up as an iron wall between you and the city. Set your face toward it and put it under siege. So you must lay siege to it as a sign for the house of Israel. Then lie on your left side while I place the guilt of the house of Israel upon you. As many days as you lie like this, you shall bear their guilt. I allot you 390 days during which you must bear the guilt of the house of Israel, the same number of years they sinned. Then take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and spelt, and put them in a single pot and make them into bread. Eat it for as many days as you lie on your side, 390 days. The food you eat shall be 20 shekels a day by weight. Each day you shall eat it." 20 shekels, that's only about 8 ounces. "And the water you shall drink will be a sixth of a hin by measure. Each day you shall drink it." Sixth of a hin is about 20 ounces. So a bottle of water is typically 16 ounces. So he's only got a bottle and a quarter of water to drink every day. "And the barley cake you eat you must bake on human excrement in the sight of all. And the Lord said, thus the Israelites shall eat their food unclean among the nations where I drive them. Oh no, Lord God, I protested. Never have I defiled myself, nor have I eaten carrion flesh or flesh torn by wild beasts, nor from my youth till now has any unclean meat entered my mouth. Very well, he replied. I will let you use cow manure in place of human dung. You can bake your bread on that. And then he said to me, son of man, I am about to break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, so they shall eat bread which they have weighed out anxiously and drink water which they have measured out fearfully. Because they lack bread and water, they shall be devastated. Each and every one will waste away because of their guilt. Now you, son of man, take a sharp sword and use it like a barber's razor to shave your head and your beard. Then take a balance scale for weighing and divide the hair. Set a third on fire within the city when the days of your siege are completed. That's a third of the hair on fire. Place another third around the city and strike it with the sword, and the final third scatter to the wind and unsheath the sword after it. But take a few of the hairs and tie them in the hem of your garment. Take some of these and throw them into the fire and burn them in the fire. Because of this, fire will flash out against the whole house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I place it in the midst of the nations, surrounded by foreign lands. But it rebelled against my ordinances more wickedly than the nations, and against my statutes more than the foreign lands around it. They rejected my ordinances and did not walk in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have caused more uproar than the nations surrounding you, not living by my statutes, nor carrying out my judgments, nor even living by the ordinance of the surrounding nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, see, I am coming against you. I will carry out judgments among you while the nations look on. Because of all your abominations, I will do to you what I have never done before, the like of which I will never do again. So remember, when Moses brought the people into the promised land, he gave them the commandments, he gave them the statutes, how to live. And the Lord is now telling Ezekiel, his people have forgotten everything. No one lives by the ordinances anymore. So now a severe chastisement is coming. And so the Lord instructs Ezekiel to do a number of very strange actions in public that visually symbolizes the warnings of the Lord. Ezekiel can only eat a little bit of food and have only a little bit of water because the people in Jerusalem will be besieged and they'll run out of food and they'll run out of water. They're going to experience that. But the majority of the Israelites do not respond favorably, nor do they repent. And Ezekiel is seen as a madman, and they just laugh at him. And the Lord tells his people that they will die by the sword, that is war, starvation, that is from siege, or disease. They will be abandoned in this warfare, abandoned people, and they will die from any disease that comes around. Despite these rejections, Ezekiel remains faithful and does everything the Lord instructs him to do, no matter how embarrassing it is for him to do these things in public. Ezekiel serves the Lord in the tradition of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the prophets. Against the mountains of Israel, Ezekiel chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. You shall say, mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys. Pay attention. I am bringing a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Your altars shall be laid waste, your incense stands smashed, and I will throw your slain down in front of your idols. These high places, these pillars, these incense stands, these altars are all to Canaanite gods. Israelites have gone over to worshiping the same gods the Canaanites did. That's what's being talked about here. Yes, I will lay the corpses of the Israelites in front of their idols and scatter your bones around your altars. Wherever you live, cities shall be ruined and high places laid waste, in order that your altars be laid waste and devastated, your idols broken and smashed, your incense altars hacked to pieces, and whatever you have made wiped out. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, clap your hands, stamp your feet, and cry, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. They shall fall by the sword, starvation, and disease. Those far off shall die of disease, those nearby shall fall by the sword, and those who survive and are spared shall perish by starvation. Thus will I spend my fury upon them. They shall know that I am the Lord when their slain lie among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill and mountaintop, beneath every green tree and leafy oak, any place they offer sweet-smelling oblations to all their idols. I will stretch out my hand against them. I will make the land a desolate waste, from the wilderness to Riblah, wherever they live. Thus they shall know that I am the Lord. So the Lord instructs Ezekiel to prophesy against the remnants of Israel. And despite the invasion by Babylon and the exile of the very best of the population, the people of Israel continue to create abominations with prayers in front of foreign and false gods. And the Lord tells his people that they will die by the sword, starvation, or disease. And he no longer tells them that they can repent and avoid this eternal punishment. That's being left out. The Lord has given up on these people. And now we see why a faithful remnant has been exiled to Babylon and away from the fury to come. It's the exiled remnant that will return to the Holy Land. The Lord takes Ezekiel in hand and transports him to the temple in Jerusalem to see the abomination. So he's picked up from Babylon and taken back to Jerusalem, and he sees the statue of jealousy, which stands before the temple. Now, some Bible scholars believe this was a statue to Asherah. Asherah was the female consort of Baal, a Canaanite god or goddess. And this had been erected in the time of King Manasseh's reign. King Manasseh was a very evil king. And it was removed in the time of King Josiah, one of the only two good kings, Hezekiah and Josiah. But it may have been reinstalled at this time. It may have been secreted away and then brought back. Ezekiel also sees a statue to Tammuz, who is a Mesopotamian goddess, a Babylonian goddess, of fertility, and it's mobbed by many women. And Ezekiel also sees priests of the temple worshiping false gods in their individual private cells. Ezekiel chapter 7. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, now say, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you. I will unleash my anger against you, judge you according to your ways, and hold against you all your abominations. My eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will hold your conduct against you, since your abominations remain within you. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, evil upon evil, see it coming? An end is coming. The end is coming. It is ripe for you. See it coming. So all the predictions of doom that were present in the writings of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel were rediscovered after the Babylonian exile, and they were held in much higher regard then because of their undeniable accuracy. But in the time of Ezekiel, the residents of Jerusalem continued to believe that they were protected just as long as the temple stood, and that they need not amend their sinful ways or practices of chasing after false gods. Yahweh loved them, and he had his temple there, and nothing was going to happen to them. Consequently, all the warnings issued by Ezekiel at the behest of the Lord fell on deaf ears and sinful hearts. Vision of the Divine Presence, Ezekiel chapter 8. In the sixth year, on the fifth day of the sixth month, as I was sitting in my house with the elders of Judah, sitting before me, the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. I looked up, and there was a figure that looked like a man. Downward from what looked like his waist, there was fire. From his waist upward, like the brilliance of polished bronze. The Lord lifted Ezekiel up and transported him to Jerusalem and set him down in front of the temple. And above this place, Ezekiel saw the glory of God as he had on that day on the banks of the Chebar River. And the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and showed him the statue of jealousy standing outside the entry to the temple. And priests were worshiping this abomination. Ezekiel must have shook his head in his hands. Next, the Lord showed him how all the priests were hiding in separate cells within the temple complex where they worshiped idolatrous gods, thinking that by doing so in private, that the Lord could not see them. How infantile. How silly. Outside the temple, women sat weeping before a statue of Tammuz, the Mesopotamian goddess of fertility. It was autumn, and the leaves were falling from the trees, and the women of Jerusalem wept. They saw the autumn as an end to fertility, and so they were praying to this goddess. Then the Lord showed Ezekiel 25 priests who were outside the temple, bowing down toward the east in homage to the sun god of the pagans. The Lord told Ezekiel that the people had gone too far. Even if they should suddenly stop and seek forgiveness, he could not forget what they have done to his holy temple. And next the Lord called out to the scourgers of the city to come to him. They each carried a weapon, and there were six of them. So these men appear out of nowhere. And a seventh man appears, and he comes forward dressed in white linen, carrying a scribe's case. And the Lord told this man to go before the others and mark an X on the foreheads of those persons who still worship the Lord. To the others, he instructed them to slay any who did not receive the X. The man who marked the foreheads of the innocent announced he had finished the task, the six others beginning in the temple and working their way through the city. Slaughter of the idolaters, Ezekiel chapter 9. As they were striking, I was left alone. I fell on my face, crying out, "Alas, Lord God, will you destroy all that is left of Israel when you pour out your fury on Jerusalem?" He answered me, "The guilt of the house of Israel and the house of Judah is too great to measure. The land is filled with bloodshed, the city with lawlessness. They think that the Lord has abandoned the land, that he does not see them. My eye, however, will not spare, nor shall I take pity, but I will bring their conduct down upon their heads." Now the word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are saying all about your relatives and other exiles and all the house of Israel, they are far away from the Lord. The land is given to us as a possession. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I have indeed sent them far away among the nations, scattered them over the lands, and have but little sanctuary for them in the lands to which they have gone. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the nations and collect you from the lands through which you are scattered, so I can give you the land of Israel. They will enter it and remove all its atrocities and abominations." So here's a shift. The Lord is now saying there is hope. These exiles who have been taken away are the best, are the most faithful, and they shall be strengthened and they shall return to Jerusalem. "And I will give them another heart and a new spirit I will put within them. From their bodies I will remove the hearts of stone and give them hearts of flesh, so they can walk according to my statutes, taking care to keep my ordinances. Thus they will be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts are devoted to the atrocities and abominations, I will bring their conduct down upon their heads, oracle of the Lord God." Then the cherubim lifted their wings and the wheels alongside them, and the glory of God of Israel above them. The glory of the Lord rose up from the middle of the city and came to rest on the mountain east of the city. So the Spirit of God has left the temple, has left Jerusalem, is going east. East is where the exiles are. "In a vision, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me back to the exiles in Chaldea by the Spirit of God. The vision I had seen left me, and I told the exiles everything the Lord had shown me." So Ezekiel's vision of Jerusalem is ended. He's been shown that the people left in the city are beyond hope. They will not repent. They will not return to the Lord. They are too proud and defiant. The glory of God represented by the cherubim chariot has returned to Babylon, where Ezekiel had his first vision. The Lord will work with the people in exile to rebuild the house of Israel. Restored to his dwelling place in the land of the Chaldeans, which is under the control of Babylon, Ezekiel shares his vision with his exiled compatriots and tells them everything the Lord shared with him. In Jerusalem, false prophets of peace arise who defy God's word and predict peace. The Lord tells Ezekiel to condemn their speech, just as their safety will be condemned when the Babylonians come a second time to destroy what is left of Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 14. Thus says the Lord God, even though I send against Jerusalem my four evil punishments, sword, famine, wild beasts, and plague, to cut off from it human being and beast alike, there will still be some survivors in it who will bring out sons and daughters. When they come out to you and you see their ways and their deeds, you shall be consoled regarding the evil I brought on Jerusalem, everything I brought upon it. They shall console you when you see their ways and their deeds, and you shall know that not without reason did I do to it everything I did. Oracle of the Lord God. So the Lord speaks to Ezekiel of the practice of child sacrifice. This has become very common. It was common amongst the Canaanites, and now as the Israelites mix with Canaanites and start to worship their gods, they too enter into child sacrifice. The Lord also speaks of child neglect and the practice of allowing newborn females to die abandoned in the fields or on mountain slopes. These things sound hideous and awful, and yet they're not so strange to our world, not so unique. Before coming into the Promised Land, Moses warned the people of such influences. The messages from Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the minor prophets also warned the people of the abominations of these actions. The Lord does not act impulsively. The warnings have been issued for hundreds of years. At long last, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, sets out to subject his power over the neighboring nations. And the Lord instructs Ezekiel to make signposts at a junction of roads within Babylon that directs travelers to either Rabbah, that's the city of the Ammonites, that would be Amman, Jordan today, or to the right, or to the left, which is to the right, or to the left to Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar turns to the left, and he begins the second siege of Jerusalem. The people of Jerusalem cannot withstand the Babylonians, and soon the city surrenders. And it surrenders because King Zedekiah stopped paying the tribute. He thought he would get the support of the Egyptians to fight against the Babylonians. The Egyptians backed out and left him standing there. So King Zedekiah now attempts to escape, but he's captured. And all his sons are rounded up and killed before his very eyes, which effectively ends the Davidic line, or so it seems. And then Zedekiah, blinded, is led into exile. Ezekiel is still in Babylon as an exile, and the word of the ruinous events in Jerusalem reached the ears of the exiles in Babylon. The city is in ruin. The temple has been destroyed. This news is very difficult for those pious people in exile because as long as the temple existed, they felt reassured that the Lord would free them from exile. The people of Jerusalem are dead or scattered. The people in exile are depressed and confused. What will happen to the people of God now? We'll take that up in part two. But now let us close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.